The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't it an angel?
Satan.
Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
As the leaves turn and the streets outside the bunker, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. There's lots to talk about today.
It's October 15th, 2010, 2 days past the great unveiling of UFOs. It was a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah. Sort of popped my balloon.
Well, yeah, in kind of a literal fashion. Mm-hmm. Although there were stories, there were pictures, there were videos that came from around the planet showing similar orbs, similar to the ones that were pictured by over New York and featured at the New York Daily News and some YouTube videos. But I don't know. I mean, that's if that was the great unveiling that this guy...
YouTube or U2?
Yeah. If that was the great unveiling that was promised, it was kind of... Not much of a wow.
No, it wasn't a wow at all. Just before we came on the air, I said to you, beware because I'm going to be pretty angry when I come to the microphone.
That's right. I can see the flashing in your eyes.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, here's what it is. I watch the news. I used to watch the news constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It was constantly on. We had cable and I constantly had CNN or Fox News or MSNBC. I was, you know, clicking back and forth among them, trying to catch up on the day's news and make sure that when you and I did our show or when we write articles that we are up to date and we know exactly what's going on in the world. And I, you know, I'm all over the internet, digging here, digging there. I am sick and tired of seeing the same stories every day. I turned on, now we don't have cable news anymore, at least not here in the bunker. So when I'm up here in the bunker, which is where I spend most of my day doing research and watching videos, was watching Chuck Missler videos today, trying to get as much information as I can, you know, trying to absorb and learn. I went down to prepare our lunch, and so I turned on Fox News. And I got to tell you, it's the same stories all the time. It's like watching a soap opera. If you stop watching your story for a while, you can come back literally 6 months or a year later, and it's the same story.
Yeah.
They've just sort of changed a few little details, but it's the same story again. They've come back from the dead. Or it was my twin that killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I'm really sorry.
And you're talking about the soap opera now, not about the news.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm talking about the soap opera. But today, I mean, they're talking about Mitt Romney, who's, you know, mounting a formidable offense.
Yeah, political operation.
Yeah, you got to watch out for him. That's what they're saying. But they've been saying that same kind of stuff year after year, month after month. Anything to get you so you don't really watch the news, so you don't really absorb what's going on.
They turn
world.
It into a reality show, essentially.
It is. And, and you, it's like you tune it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me so mad because I think that there are Americans out there that really, really want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And the fool on the hill, I will name him. His name is Barack Obama. Sits up there watching his ESPN and has no clue what's really going on here in America. Okay, now I've said my piece.
Okay, Sharon's pet peeve of the week. There we go. Well, you're right, though, and I would say that there are a lot of professional politicians who don't have a clue about what's happening out here in
flyover land. I heard a quote from Nancy Pelosi today who actually said, you know, all I really care about is making sure that we get the House again. as far as being Speaker of the House, well, it's not really that important to me. If I don't get voted back in for that, that's all right. As long as the Democrats retain control. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Oh, yeah. You, behind the scenes, you better believe she's got operatives who are twisting
arms. In fact, I have read that her modus operandi right now is, okay, you Democrats, go out and you can say whatever you want to about me. As long as when we get the House back, you make sure I'm Speaker.
Hmm. So Democrats out here in the heartland, where the typical Democrat is very different than the typical Democrat in California or New York.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and we saw this in Missouri.
When Democrats here are like Republicans.
Exactly. When we were in Missouri, we saw a classic example of that. I mean, Missouri, while we were there, voted almost 70% in favor of an amendment to the state constitution to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman.
Yes.
Now, you know, in a state that politically typically votes about 50-50 Republican and Democrat, mm-hmm. for 70% of the voters to align on one issue means you've got bipartisan support.
Oh, absolutely. So, a state with Kansas City and St. Louis that are both heavily Democrat,
right.
Very liberal.
Right. In the middle of the state, which is almost Bible
Columbia,
Belt
which,
conservative.
Well,
in that little pocket
of
Columbia.
Columbia,
right.
Yeah.
But the rest of the state is Bible Belt conservative. And you find very much a similar thing here in Indiana, mm-hmm. I think. Now, I don't have as much a sense of the politics here yet.
Even Indianapolis is pretty conservative.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
that's
is.
The biggest city in the state.
Yep.
And it's relatively conservative. Now, you get up toward Chicago and in the region,
yep.
and you're going to find it leans left.
The region?
The region.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Like the Bears.
Yeah.
Doubles.
Yeah. The region.
Okay, well, yeah, you make an excellent point. Democrats here are much more likely to be, pro-gun, pro-family, pro-life than on the coasts. And
mm-hmm.
The politicians and the pundits, whose faces are the ones that are fed to us through the cable news every single day, don't get it, don't understand it, and never will.
They don't. They really, really don't. Okay, I've said my piece. Now I have this story to tell you about.
Okay. Is that the
left
turn?
Turn?
Okay.
That was a massive left turn. If you were to walk by Starbucks, you and I don't like Starbucks coffee.
No,
by the
taste
way,
burnt.
Just our favorite coffee, if you want to know, is 8 o'clock Colombian.
No, you gave out the secret. It's going to disappear off the store shelves now. But it's true. Now that it's out, I suppose we can't contain it any longer. Yes, 8 o'clock Colombian beans, not the ground.
Whole bean, yeah. Whole bean. It is the best. It tastes very similar to Glockenspiel from
Gevalia. Yeah, but it's a lot less expensive.
It's much less expensive.
It's less expensive than coffees that don't taste nearly as good.
I know. In fact, Starbucks.
And, yeah, right.
Which so. We've not been able. Other people have figured it out.
Yep.
They're buying up in whole boxes, crates mm-hmm. of our favorite coffee. So it's not on the shelves anymore. And literally, Big Lots had a big sale on it. I know that this sounds like but that did. And I bought about 20 bags of it because it was on sale for $2 a bag.
Yeah, which is cheap, cheap, cheap.
Oh, so anyway, that's our favorite coffee. We don't like Starbucks. But if we did, mm-hmm. and we walked by a Starbucks,
right,
our phones would automatically get beamed little coupons.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, so. that's really interesting. Now, is this to any phone, or is this for a particular format of phone? I mean, does this only work with, say, a GPS-enabled phone? Or I mean, the article that you've posted to Instapaper from the Daily Mail in the UK even references
mm-hmm.
the movie that came to mind when you described this, and that is Minority Report.
Absolutely.
You've got the scene. Right. The scene where Tom Cruise's character goes into the mall, and you've got all these ads that are saying his name. Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson, or whatever his mm-hmm. character's name was. Would you like to try? And, hey, Mr. Johnson, this is for it. That's creepy.
I know. Now, put this along with it. Well, the article from the Mail Online. Starbucks to bombard people with money off vouchers direct to their phones when they pass coffee shops. I want to put this along with something that you and I did not get to talk about last night, and that's when I went to foxnews.com yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to take a look at a story that supposedly was breaking, and I got over there, and instead I see this main story that is about Obama taxing us, you know, without our really realizing it. We've already had a tax hike, and in that was a little...
Yeah. Again, yeah, that's news.
Instead of a graphic, that, you know, a photo or something of Obama, they had a graphic that allowed you to input your income, and you could figure out what your tax hike was.
Okay.
There was already an amount in that little box, and it was exactly what you earn in a year.
Oh. That's not a round number. That's not exactly a number.
Well, no. I shouldn't say that. It was a round number. They had rounded it up.
My point,
but
though.
But it was your... Exactly. It wasn't an even number.
Yes. And that's my point. It's not exactly a multiple of...
It wasn't like you went in
number.
And it said something like $10,000 or $100,000.
Right. They didn't pick. It was a number that is not a multiple of, say, you know, a particular
five.
Thousand. Right. So
yeah.
It's not something that you would just pull out of thin air.
The only thing I can figure out is we do our taxes online now, have for the last 3 years. So they could have pulled it from there because they have my IP. They know who I am and who I'm married to. Also on my desktop. Now, I haven't tried it over here because I'm curious to see if it – but I think this computer has it as well. We have always done our taxes with computer software.
Mm-hmm.
And so those tax returns are on my desktop. And I think they're stored over here too. I don't know. Are they pulling that information? Was it a coincidence? I don't know. But it was really disturbing. You put that information along with this sort of software.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a look at you and who you are and sends you the coupons that you want for that day. I'm walking down the produce aisle, and suddenly my phone beeps, and let's say hypothetically.
Right.
And I look at it and says, just for you today, Sharon, we'll give you 20% off green onions.
Yeah, come in our store right now and you get a special
sale.
Oh,
while I'm in the store.
If you're walking past, which is the deal with the Starbucks, and apparently this is also being done at a couple of other stores, American Eagle Outfitters, the company that's selling the technology is called PlaceCaster.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of like taking Groupon to a new level,
now add to this. Yeah.
Okay.
Remember the story a couple of years ago out in New York, the test. Of
voice to skull?
Voice to skull.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Hello, Mr. Gilbert. We've got 50% off Cubs outerwear.
I'm there! That is, well, it is coming. It is coming.
It is coming, and I think it's something that we may even see in the next year or two.
The technology is there. It's been demonstrated. Certainly the... this is the kind of thing that DARPA has been working on for a while.
Yeah, these
crowd
so-called
control.
Smartphones that are in our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're too smart.
Well, they are certainly communicating more about us. And a lot of what is being communicated is stuff that we're volunteering because it makes our lives more convenient, you know, to shop online, to bank online, to do our taxes online. And that information is not as private as we would like to think it is. And maybe we think, well, you know, I'm just one of 300 million people in this country. Why are they going to pay attention to me? And that may be true most of the time. But there comes a day when, you know, that information may turn up in places that you don't expect and in ways you don't expect, like this, you know, my annual salary showing up in a news story. We'll just fill in to save you the time of actually having to type the numbers.
Well, that was chilling when I got to that. I thought, holy moly.
Yeah.
What are you doing with that? There's another article. I know you sort of scanned through the things at PID News. You came home and you took Sam for a walk and... You did the things you were supposed to do.
Well,
you
had
put
to.
Family
yeah,
first.
Gotta be balanced. Besides, the neighborhood's not safe until Sam gives it his once over.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Did you see this article that I put at PID News? Government 101: Fort Drum learns local governance from community leaders. The soldiers were in this small town, essentially learning how to run the town.
That's interesting.
Why are our soldiers learning how to run American towns?
Well, I don't know. What was the point of the story here? What solution did they offer? They're talking about the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division, and just spent a day talking with the city manager and the mayor of what town? What town is this from?
Fort. Sorry, I have to pull up the actual article here. Not my link. Well, it's coming from
ABC 50
in 50 Town. Sorry. Government 101 is a new program that Fort Drum has established to learn from local officials what it takes to run a community efficiently. Really, it's learning from experts, says Colonel Patrick D. Frank, who's commander of the 3rd Brigade Combat Team. This is a combat team learning how to run a town, an American town.
In New York State.
I mean, they're not down here in, we've got a town not too far from us that actually is an urban assault center. You go in there and you train in how to be in combat situations in a small town. I don't know that they have the opportunity to go in there and learn how to run it. Maybe not. Maybe you have to go to this little town to do that.
Yeah, Fort Drum is about, it's north of Syracuse, about 60, 70 miles, if I'm gauging this right on Google Maps. Eastern end of Lake Ontario, basically, near Watertown, New York.
One of my pet peeves about websites is when, especially these news sites, they don't tell you where they are. They assume it's like Shelbyville.
If you don't know what's going on here, you
if you don't know where you live, then you shouldn't be looking at this website.
That's right. Everybody knows we always hold the festival there. Well, yeah. We've only been here for a couple of years. Well, you're barely local anyway. Well, anyway. Yeah, that is an interesting development. We've seen this kind of story over the last, 10 years or more. I found a number of these articles like this about soldiers training in urban American cities for combat operations.
I've also seen soldiers from other countries train in our cities.
That was part of the research I did for the God Conspiracy. But this is something a little new. I mean, actually sitting down with local leaders to learn more about governance. I suppose those would be skills that might have come in handy in Afghanistan.
We're not nation builders.
No, and I'm not saying that we should be. I'm quoting
George Bush.
Yeah.
We're not nation builders. He said that when he was running for office.
That's true.
Continued to win and become a nation builder.
Find a nation that is worth building. That's an interesting development. And speaking of nations, there's a story, I don't know if you caught it, the Debka file today, that we probably should touch on because this is rather significant.
I didn't go to Debka today.
Story from Debka, just posted today, is that an Iranian military installation, a rather significant one, was struck by a triple blast, three explosions on Tuesday, the day before Mahmoud Ahmadinejad arrived in Lebanon. And, of course, this is the week that Ahmadinejad was supposed to
Throw a rock at Israel.
Yeah, and when he leaves Lebanon, Debka was reporting anyway that Syria and Iran would basically be in control of Lebanon. The people there, as you mentioned the other day, are arming themselves, expecting a civil war. Well, October 12th, Tuesday, military and intelligence sources report that this particular military site in Iran held most of the Shahab 3 medium-range missile launchers that Iran had stocked for striking U.S. forces in Iraq and Israel in the event of war.
Oh.
Yes, 18 soldiers were officially reported killed in the blasts and 14 injured. All of them belonged to the Revolutionary Guard's main missile arm, the Al-Hadid Brigades. This is the Imam Ali base. It's in the Zagros Mountain country near the town of Khorramabad in western Iran. It was this missile site was selected for the altitude because apparently it's difficult to get at, to take out. And it only lies about 400 kilometers from Baghdad, which would be, roughly 280, 300 miles?
In which direction?
I'm just guessing.
Toward the Persian Gulf?
I would assume so. And primary American bases in central Iraq, about 1,250 kilometers from Tel Aviv in central Israel. But since the Shahab 3 has a range of up to 2,500 kilometers, all of Israel would have been within range of these missiles. Iranian sources told Debka File that Tehran spent hundreds of millions of dollars building the Imam Ali base. It was one of the largest subterranean missile launching facilities of its kind in the Middle East or Europe. Burrowed under the Imam Ali base is a whole network of tunnels and deep a whole network of wide tunnels deep underground. But somehow, a mysterious hand, their words, rigged three blasts in quick succession deep inside those tunnels, destroying a large number of launchers and causing enough damage to render the facility unfit for use. End quote. Very, very interesting. Combine that with the Stuxnet virus, which is reportedly still wreaking havoc in the Bushehr nuclear power plant and other military facilities in Iran. This is very significant.
Is it possible that Russia, who has helped to build these facilities and frankly arm them, has been doing so in sort of a left-handed way? We will do these things for you, but at the same time, we're going to plant viruses and we're going to plant bombs.
That's an interesting question, and I don't know the answer to it. Now,
the Iranians have been arresting those Russian techs, you know, for days.
And that the Russians have been leaving the country. And, of course, there was a report from Debka earlier this week. This would have been on Sunday of this week, October 10th. Debka reported that its intelligence sources said Iran has put to death a number of atomic scientists and technicians suspected of helping to plant the Stuxnet virus in its nuclear program. Mm-hmm. Don't know if they were all Iranian or if some were foreign nationals, but that is, again, another interesting development. Things taking place behind the scenes in the ongoing low-grade conflict between Iran on the one side and Israel and the U.S. presumably on the other side.
Well, let me tell you, if indeed Russia is playing a game, as we've seen on Secret Agent Man so many times.
Sure.
Danger Man. They've just told Venezuela that they would help them
build a nuclear
plant.
Well, that's really interesting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Considering the Stuxnet virus, I think I'd say, if I were Chavez, I'd say, maybe next year. Let's hold off and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting development. And I think it's important to note that, Debka reports a lot of things that we don't see anywhere else on the web, and it's hard to get corroboration of what's going on.
Yeah. But they've been right a number of times.
Right. So we'd give them a degree of credibility that we would not give to, say, Sorcha Fall. Yes, I know.
Gasp.
I said it.
Gasp, I said.
So anyway, we'll keep an eye on what's happening there. Because there are some things that you can corroborate in the mainstream news, which is that, an accident, for example, which is the official news coming out of Iran, that an accident took place at the Imam Ali base. According to the official statement from Tehran, they denied it was a result of a terror attack and claimed the explosion, quote, was caused by a nearby fire that spread to the munitions storage area of the base, end quote. So,
there's a story tickling in my brain. Last week there was a similar event somewhere close to one of the nuclear bases that they said, oh, it's just a small fire and we put it out. I'll have to do some research on that, but that's sort of tickling in my brain. In the meantime, if we wanted to close the show with a rousing, say, song,
what, the Stonecutters theme from The Simpsons? Or
yes.
Kind of wrap
that's
up the week.
That's the very one. We could get this female robot to Japan, from Japan, to sing it for us.
Ah.
From the Mail Online, female robot learns to sing by copying human singer. Life-sized robot known as the HRP-4 has a realistic face and movable features that are able to... Sorry.
Oh, I see. You hijacked the audio hijacked on your computer over there again?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Mrs. Gilbert.
You've got 20% off.
That is really a pet. That's why I use ad blocker on.
Well, I need to put it on here. I use it on my computer, my laptop, but I don't have it over here.
Yeah.
She synthesizes, her synthesized voice technology sounds and breathes like a human.
Huh. Interesting.
I wonder if she can sing opera.
Software developed by Yamaha called Vocaloid. But they've got a new technology called Vocal Listener, which synthesizes a singing voice, like imitating a person's... Well, you know, parrots can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the big deal?
So the next thing we're going to see, an all-girl band or an all-boy band, you know, just robots? Oh, we've already got them.
Yeah. Well, there was Milli Vanilli and... Well, yeah, you probably will. I mean, you know, in 2318, people will be lining up to see the robot Rolling Stones.
But going in the transhuman direction.
Yeah. You might see the actual Mick Jagger still strutting around on a stage someplace. Well, yeah, that is interesting because this is just another step, though, toward that singularity.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can make robots, and when you look at the picture at the Daily Mail, you can tell that she's not quite human. The features look just a little too perfect.
But you know what? The actors and actresses, they're using Botox. They're getting this plastic look to their faces.
They're getting the plastic look. But the thing is, you can make the robots look a little bit more lifelike by making them a little less perfect. I mean, and once you get to that point where you're almost indistinguishable from human, and the synthetic, the voice synthesizer and the ability to learn through artificial intelligence. Once you get to that point where you've essentially created Lieutenant Commander Data, or enhanced a human so that a human has the capabilities of a Commander Data,
mm-hmm.
you've hit the singularity. And, biology is no longer the limit of what it means to be human, according to these guys who are pushing for that. But it's important to note that what they're pushing for is not just breaking through a technological barrier. They see this as opening the gateway to a spiritual leap.
Literally a gateway.
Yes, yeah. And that is the key point here. So another step down that road toward apotheosis for the techno-gnostics.
See, I told you when we sat down, I said there's a lot to talk about, and you just looked at me like, really?
Yeah, because I haven't had a chance. I've had a very busy day at work. Not that I'm, looking at the news while I'm at work anyway, but it's, just sometimes when I have a really busy day at work, I come home and feel like I've just been totally out of the loop for an entire day. That's kind of how I felt coming home tonight.
I love you.
I love you, sweetheart.
Aww.
We'll get plenty to talk about tonight for sure. I want to talk more about
who's on your show?
View from the Bunker tonight. First hour, we'll talk with Rob Skiba, who's an actor, a writer, a director, producer, who is working on a
missionary,
forthcoming
a
former missionary, and he's combining elements of that career with his acting career and his entertainment talents to put forth a forthcoming television show called Seed, which is really interesting. Great tool
I love
for the pitch.
The promotion. Yeah.
The promotional tool. He basically was handing out the demo script inside what looks like a scroll.
Yeah.
And it's extremely well done.
It's genius. I mean, the exterior looks like you're looking at a multi-layered scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sort of see through the almost an onion skin appearance to what's inside, and it's very intriguing what's inside. Plus, there's an S for Sharon on it.
I see.
I think it's probably for Seed, but I'm pretty sure it's for Sharon.
Sharon, yeah. Well, the script for the pilot is reminiscent of Millennium.
Yes.
Yes, very Millennium-istic. And it's really interesting because one of the characters, there's a character in here who Rob admits is based on our good friend Tom Horn.
Aha!
So we'll talk with Rob Skiba about that. And then hour number two, probably talk some politics and stuff. Mitt Romney, I mean, isn't it ironic that with all of the backlash against the Obama administration's policies and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid's support of those policies, big government, more intrusive government, more costly government, that the Republicans are putting a big government guy back in the forefront.
I know. Well, that's true, but they're putting a Mormon in the forefront. And with Glenn Beck leading the charge of Dominionists, are we surprised?
Not really. So that's tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com/PID radio. View from the Bunker tonight. So until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone. say it loud.